how do you do to manage school and practice?
Well, actually, as every year progresses, school gets much harder. There are more tests, there's more homework and everything. And that minute where you think, you know what, I want to sit down and I want to relax, and you know what, maybe I just want to watch 30 minutes of a show, you have to think, you know what, this 30 minutes I could be using to practice violin. I could be getting that a little better, just to make life a little easier in the long run. And you think, you know what, this 30 minutes I could have, you know, gone out, gone to play with my friends, gone to the park, gone anywhere. But you think, you know what, that 30 minutes that I used today, that actually has helped me a lot. It has helped me improve in many ways. And this same 30 minutes I'm not going to get 2-3 years from now. So I have to use every minute that I get.
See, there is a age-old saying, or actually, everybody knows the saying, practice makes a man perfect. And between Aishu and I, there is something that we sincerely believe. If you don't practice for one day, you personally know about it. If you don't practice for 2 days, your accompanist who sit up on stage with you will know about it. If you don't practice for a week, the audience begins to know about it. Once you know that that formula is in place, there is absolutely no room for slipping, no room for compromise. Practice, practice, practice till your wrist breaks, and then you practice for one more hour. That, by far, is the essence of Indian music. And for that matter, the essence of any music whatsoever. If you want to attain a certain level of perfection, the only word that will take you there is practice.
I know that.
Knowing Aishu, she's a perfectionist. If she doesn't get something, she struggles with it. She's unable to go from that particular line that she's been trying to something else. So I think this kind of helps her in attaining perfection, and she practices even more to achieve what she has wanted. She has a lot of schoolwork, and she manages it quite well. She plans, she organizes. Both her and my husband, they practice in the morning and they again practice in the evening. They wake up early in the morning and they practice for about 2 hours and they go to school. Once she's back, again, she practices after her homework is done. They practice sometimes up to 10:30 at night. I have to drag them for dinner. But I think the reason she comes back to practice is she might have one line that she has left, and she keeps practicing until she achieves it. So I think that's what motivates her into getting back into music, you know, time and again.
Yes.
About school and managing all the work, and also adding to this formula, Berklee College of Music this summer, my dad has been helping me, you know, move along a little quicker than the other people. And so I'm taking a few courses as in pre-calculus just to finish it off and, you know, come back home one day in 11th grade and say, you know what, I finished pre-calculus, so I can use this hour to practice my violin. So all these things, you know, kind of help. And in the long run, I'm going to think back and see, you know what, all this work has really, 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 really paid off.
That's good. Yeah. I just wanted to ask a little bit more about your history, about how you came to the United States, when you came to the United States. I know you've been born here, but...
My history goes back to 1987. I was barely 21 or 22 when I got invited by San Diego State University Department of Music. At that time, San Diego State University had a very beautiful department of ethnomusicology. And the drums that I play, the mridangam that I play, and the South Indian music that we are performing used to be a primary subject, a course offered by San Diego State's Department of Ethnomusicology. And I don't know whether to call it opportunity, whether it was luck, but a professor from San Diego State then had visited Bombay, and he had an opportunity to listen to me speak the English language very fluently and communicate with the audience the art of drumming technique. And he walked up to me and said, you know, this, you are somebody that we are looking for, somebody who can speak fluent English and communicate this art form. Would you like to move to San Diego? And that was how I got the offer. I accepted it. I came to San Diego. I taught music at San Diego State, but simultaneously, since I was only 20 at that time in 1987, 20 or 21, I forget now, I wanted to pursue my degree in mathematics. And so we struck a deal with the university where I would teach music at San Diego State, they would pay me a salary, and then I would use the salary to pay for my tuition to go to school. And that's how I got my degree in applied mathematics. 1987 was when I came to this country, and I still have my association with San Diego State University. It has been a big family for us, and this year, the International Student Center is growing with... When I came to San Diego, we had about 400 and some odd foreign students. This year, we have well over 2,600 foreign graduates attending San Diego State. And we are hoping to enlarge San Diego State's International Student Center. And Aishwarya and I are actually doing a fundraiser this coming May to raise $100,000 for the university's expansion project and build the International Student Village for San Diego State University. And... The guest of honor for this event is none other than the legendary Pandit Ravi Shankar, who is being honored by San Diego State University for the global awareness and for the introduction of Indian music to the Western world. And they are conferring upon him a title of I fail to remember what the exact words are, but San Diego State is conferring upon him the title of Godfather of World Music, and we are honored and privileged to be part of this wonderful institution and to be part of having to play for such a great grandmaster of Indian music.
You still work for San Diego?
No, I do not work for San Diego State. I'm the president of a nonprofit corporation called the Center for Academic Excellence. And what I do is I use my mathematics to go into four-year colleges and universities and unified school districts and work with underprivileged children, work with students who are struggling in math, and myself and my team of teachers, we are bringing back the technique of mathematics the way we learned it 30 years ago. And we seem to be doing wonderful with these students who are maintaining failing grades and are now pulling a straight B or even coming up to an A at times. So that's what I do for a living. I live in Long Beach. I am a consultant for the Long Beach Unified School District, and testing, standardized testing, is my specialty.
And I don't remember if I asked you, where is your family from in India?
My family originated from southern India in the princely state of Kerala. The southernmost tip of India, a beautiful, beautiful place, very similar to Hawaii in terms of the landscape, lot of water, lot of palm trees, lot of coconut trees, and music just flows in the water, in the tap waters of Kerala. And so anybody who comes from Kerala, two things always happen. They know how to cook and they know how to play music.
That's good. I would like to go there. And your family is also, can you tell how you came here?
My family is from southern India, and we come from a place called Tamil Nadu. But I grew up mostly in the north, and my father was also in Africa, so we were in Africa for many years. So we have a little bit of the northern culture as well. I came to this country after I got married to my husband. My husband and I had an arranged marriage. My parents arranged our wedding. I had just finished med school. And we met for 5 minutes before we decided we would be married. And within 10 days, we were married. And within a month, I was here. And I had no one in the United States except my husband, who I had known for barely a month at that time. And when we came here, we didn't know we were going to live here forever. He was going to school at that time, and he was also teaching. But one thing led to the other, and I decided to do my residency here, and we waited for a couple more years. And he got a job, and we never got a chance to return. And now soon came Aishu, and then I had Aparna, and Aishu is now 13, and Aparna is 9. And looks like we are permanently settled here. And the good thing about being here is, even though we are so far away from home, we get almost everything of our culture here. We have concerts, we have dances that we go and see. The food, we get amazing food here, which is exactly the same as what we eat back home. So although we do visit India very frequently, we go there at least once a year, and we go for all the concerts that happen in India during the December season, we feel this is home now, and we have our culture here too. So,
yeah, I was going to ask you about the community. Do you have there is a community here of people from Southern Asia or Southern India like
this? Yes. We live in Long Beach, and Cerritos is the closest place here. And Cerritos is known as Little India. And in fact, if you walk the streets in Pioneer Boulevard, we practically feel we are back home. The way the people are dressed there, it's the Indian saris and the salwar kameezes that they wear. And the society, the South Indian Music Academy, is there, where we have concerts practically every Sunday. And there is also Music Circle, which plays the North Indian music as well as the South Indian music. It was started by Ravi Shankar, and Aishu actually is going to perform for them as well in the month of May. And we hear all types of music in that association. And through that affiliation, we have lots of friends. And we are in no shortage of friends from India.
So you have a community here.
Yes, we have a huge South Indian and North Indian community here in Los Angeles.
Good. You wanted to add something else about the community, or how do you, about living in Long Beach from...
It's very hard to not appreciate the fact that although we are away from home, how the community and the culture and the neighbors and the surroundings have helped us adapt to a home away from home. Music is divine, whether it is Eastern, whether it is Western, whether it is Northern. It is just the aspect of growth. It is the aspect of the cycle of life, and just like the Walt Disney production mentioned, it all comes back to the origin of childhood, all comes back to the origin of birth, and how we develop from that into adulthood. So as far as the community is concerned, great place to live in. I would encourage anybody to come and live in Long Beach, California. It is the best.
Thank you. I just have one more question related to the community or living in the United States. Have you felt any difference from after September 11 of the way of how you've been treated in this country?
Honestly, no. September 11th was a very unfortunate incident that happened. A lot of life was lost. Things changed. Things did change for a short period of time. And whether we went through the airports in Los Angeles or Albuquerque, New Mexico, or even a small airport, the strictness of how things were handled was the same amongst everybody, whether you were a United States national or whether you were an Indian national. The way things were looked at and the way things were inspected had to be done. And basically, nobody could take any ill over being overprotective, because bottom line, it was for the betterment of the society. Once bitten, twice shy. It's one of those things. You don't want to be caught in a predicament where, oh, what what if I had done this, this would have happened better. You never want to be caught in that. So no, I don't have any regrets in the way things have happened since September 11th. On the other hand, if at all any, we have become a lot mellower, a lot better, and we appreciate the wonders of various cultures, various music. And if we don't take this opportunity to train our children to understand other cultures, other people, other music, what kind of a world will we be presenting for our future generations to come? So encouraging children, encouraging adults, encouraging teenagers to go out and explore other cultures should be by far the biggest lesson and encouragement that teachers, students, elders should impart. And I would say music, once again, like I always say, music is divine. And it doesn't matter whether it is Afghanistan music, whether it is Serbian music, whether it is Persian music or Indian music, or for that matter, Western classical, bluegrass, or jazz. It is divine.
Thank you. Do you want to add something about that? Just before I get checking, if I forget something else.
Music is a universal language, and I think after what we have gone through by way of September 11th, I think by music, all the communities and people from different races and cultures can come together for a better united world. And I think music will be a very important language through which we can communicate with with each other.
I think there's just one more question or something. Any of you that wants to answer us, I can ask you first and then ask you, what do you hope for the future? What do you want to do with music, or what are your hopes?
Well, I've been playing music for such a long time, it's pretty much decided that I want to be able to explore the options that I have regarding music. And with this summer and the many summers to come at Berklee College of Music, I hope to get a degree in performance and finish that degree before high school is over. And then after that, I'm also very good at math and science. I like those subjects, and I understand them a lot. So after music, I'd also like to, explore my options in the fields of medicine. And although I don't know what I'm going to do now, I want to see what I can do and how I can expand my horizons.
Good. What are your hopes for her?
She definitely shows potential of becoming a star. With the art form that she has selected, the audience is not as vast as a pop star or American Idol. The audience who come to listen to this kind of music are more eclectic, more knowledgeable about the music. So getting out into the community becomes a lot harder. But once again, it is a medium, it's a language that bridges a lot of gaps and a lot of barriers and brings a lot of people together. I am sincerely hoping that she will continue to strive for perfection. She will continue to aim to reach the highest pinnacle and hopefully win a Grammy or something in the field of world music. She is working very hard, and she has put out a new album, and I'm just sincerely hoping that she continues that progress. And with the blessings of her teacher, with the blessings of her elders, and blessings of everybody within the community, I think she will succeed.
And you?
I think Aishu will make a great performance artist. And people are becoming more and more aware of this music as well. And by way of this interview as well, people are getting to know this kind of music. They appreciate it. It gives a lot of peace. It's very melodious. And I have heard this music being played in many of my yoga classes. So I think she'll become a great performance artist. And she also wants to become a doctor. She states she wants to help me with my practice. So I hope she can do both in the future.
Thank you. Let me just check and see if I don't forget something, because then we could maybe play some more music. Um, kiss. Yeah, I heard that you also do swimming. I read it. I read it in your website. I heard. So what do you like about swimming?
Swimming is my chance, you know, I think, get away from it all, you could say. Every Sunday, I have the chance to, you know, just go swim laps, take a breather, no pun intended, and just, you know, relax for some time, take my time and just enjoy that 1 hour or 45 minutes that I can just do whatever I want.
Yeah, it's good. I do swim too for the same reasons. Okay, you want to say something? I see your hand up.
I also swim too. Swimming is my main goal because, just like how Aisha said, she's like, it's like you can get away from anything. It's like you can just go and relax. It's like you can just float on your back and just look up.
Do you play instruments?
Yeah, I'm learning the drums from my dad.
The drums?
Yeah.
That's huge. Okay, well, let's try to listen to some of the instruments. Also, if you want to show me something specific about the instrument, if you want maybe to play and tell me something about the instrument, I can record it two together.
Like I mentioned at the beginning, percussion Indian drums is an art form that is taught from teacher to student. The uniqueness of this drum is you will not be able to reproduce the percussion syllables till such time you actually are able to recite it by mouth.
Can you say the beginning again?
Yes. Yes, sure. Let me turn that down completely. The mrdangam, the barrel-shaped drum, is a very unique drum in the form that it still maintains its origin, shape, and structure from the time it was made, from the time Lord Shiva actually took the clay and the mud and mixed it together to create the drum. It was the drum that was played by the Nandi bull during Shiva's very famous Tandava dance, the Tandava Nrityam. And since that time, the drum has been an integral part. The uniqueness about this drum is you have to be able to recite the drum syllables before you are able to play it on your drum. So the process of learning has always been teacher teaches you the lesson, you listen to it, you memorize the lesson, you practice it vocally. It is very similar to rap. It is very similar to the drum line that you take together. You vocalize it as much as you can. You bring it to body and soul before you can bring it to the drum. What I mean when I say vocalizing the drum syllables, I'm going to just give you a simple demonstration.
Can you hear another one?
Sure. Taga dippi, kajuna taga dippi, kajuna taga dippi, targa taga taga dippi, targa taga taga dippi, targa taga taga dippi, targa taga 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 taga
taga
taga taga taga taga taga taga taga taga taga taga taga taga taga taga taga taga. What I will do is I'll give you another take on that one.
Okay.
The thing with this drum is, I'm going to give you an example of what vocalizing is. I will vocalize something and then I will reproduce it in the drum to show you how the vocal technique blends with the percussion technique. Taga dippi, kajunu taga dippi, kajunu taga dippi, kajunu taga dippi, targataga daga dippi, targataga daga dippi, targataga daga dippi, targataga daga dippi, tadikataka dippi, kajunu taga dippi, kajunu titaga the target of the dati taga the target of the ditaga the target of the dati taga the target of the target of the daga 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 the target of the daga. Just so that if you want to hear, I will say it and I'll play it together. 5, 6, 7, 8. So I've given you different varieties to work with.
And you play together following these rhythms. When you play the violin, do you have also the same thing? Do you sing also?
No, actually, I don't follow the rhythms. He follows, or anybody accompanying me for that matter, follows what I play. So whatever I feel, if I feel I want to go slow, then he'll have to play, or she, or anybody, will have to play slow. They'll have to play with the same feeling, the same technique as I do. So basically, I'm in charge. And they have to see, you know, what their options are and how they're going to make everything fit.
So the melodic instrument is the guide.
Yes, yes. So the melodic instrument basically guides the whole concert. There can be 1, 2, 3, but the violin or the flute or the saxophone, they start the show and they finish the show, and they are the main instrument. Everybody else follows them.
That is true when the instrument, or in this case, the violin, is the primary instrument, when the violin is played as a solo violin instrument. Now, in Indian music, violin is also an accompanying instrument. When it becomes an accompanying instrument, it can accompany a flute, it can accompany a saxophone, it can accompany a veena, it can accompany a vocalist. In which case, the main instrument will be the flute, the veena, the vocalist, or the saxophonist. And the violin becomes the accompanying instrument. The mridangam becomes the percussion accompaniment. Now, just like the mridangam, there are multiple percussion instruments from India. There is an instrument called the ghatam. The ghatam is predominantly or primarily a clay pot. With iron, magnesium and iron filings mixed into the clay when it is being burnt into the clin. It gives the tonic of the drum. That is a secondary percussion instrument in addition to the mridangam. On my right over here, I have something called the kanjira or a tambourine. And it's basically an instrument of this nature. It is also a secondary percussion instrument. And lastly, there is also, as you are all familiar with, it's called the Jewish harp. The Jewish harp is called the mursing in India. And it is also a percussion instrument, and it can be considered a secondary percussion.
How it is the Jewish harp?
A Jewish harp is basically, it is a metal with a V-shaped prong. It's like a tuning fork with a metal. And you put the metal inside your mouth, under your tongue, and you kind of play it. It has a sound that goes somewhat similar to, it has a ring of that nature, and it is played with your finger, with your index finger of your right hand, and the sound is produced by the suction of the air that you breathe in or breathe out. It's a very difficult instrument. It's a very simple instrument, but it's a hard instrument. And not many people, of course, play that instrument. There are very few people who have attained perfection on that art form. It's called the mursing, and it's very, very well known in the Western culture as a Jewish harp.
I think I know it too, but I don't know the name. That's So I don't remember if I ask your wife about. She said that she was a physician. I don't mm-hmm. remember now because I talked to her before, yes. and I know she said to me, but I don't remember. Mm-hmm. I can ask her later.
I can call her down if you want. You want to do that now, Vidya? She wants to ask you one more question.
If she's around. Mm-hmm. And I, if you play some music, I will change the mini disc because
yes. it's close to finish.
I have another one, but okay. I just asked her a question and I changed the mini disc. So if I don't remember if I ask you on the microphone, or if you told me that you're a physician on the microphone. I know I talked to you about it before, but I don't
know. I'm also a physician, and I practice here in Long Beach. I'm a family physician, and I think that is why Aishu also has dreams of becoming a doctor one day.
For your physician. Thank you.